Welcome to a new season on loverugbyleague.com. We were talking points, but for this season we're splitting in two, so we are talking Super League. Alongside me I've got Adrian Jackson, and do you like the new title, first of all, mate?
I've got to say, highly original.
I don't know how everything come up.
Obviously this podcast is not just thrown together, there's some way of thinking how we're going to put this together, but yeah, it's good that we're back on board.
It definitely is. So we've had the first round of fixtures, and we've got all the results to go through. It would be remiss of us not to look at how the whole competition was launched. Adrian, you were there, you went over to Old Trafford, you sampled the prawn sandwiches. What was it like?
Prawn sandwiches. Yeah, the prawn sandwiches weren't bad considering we're in Manchester, but the company, in the fact that we were there with the Hoos, who were British Rugby League for the Super League launch, before the season actually started, it was a bad afternoon at Old Trafford.
Is there ever a bad afternoon at Old Trafford? Oh, I mean, we were there for the grand final. What a tremendous night that was.
It's a bad afternoon at Old Trafford if you're a Liverpool fan like me, you get beat 3-0.
Ah. See, I don't know much about the Rainbow game, it's fantastic to be Rugby League. Now, we have been described in some quarters as the Anton Deck of Rugby League, so thank you very much, Steve McCormack. Let's hope that we can live up to it over the course of the season. What do you reckon? Are you going to stand up to a Geordie accent?
No chance.
Well, I'll see what I can do, but, you know, it's a bit rusty. I might have enough problems talking in my normal accent, to be honest, mate. Anyway, what have we got coming up? Well, from the Super League launch, Adrian spoke with Tony Smith of Warrington Wolves, Rob Powell of London Broncos. I had to get that right. I almost slipped into Harlequin's mode. I bet that a few journalists who were doing that.
Everybody was doing it, to be honest. Even the most experienced guys like Ray French were even saying it.
Really? Even Ray was making those type of elementary errors.
It's easy mistaken, isn't it? Because they were the Harlequins for nearly six seasons.
Well, it is, and, you know, it took us long enough to get used to. Was it Crusaders? Was it Celtic Crusaders? You know, it's a good job in some respects, and they're not in Super League anymore. Some silent. And we'll also be hearing from last year's winning coach, Brian McDermott, from the Leeds Rhinos. And Damien Blanche on the Castle of Dragons. She was a busy man, weren't you?
Like you said, it was a jam-packed room full of Super League celebrities.
Well, let's be looking back over last week's results. We'll be hearing from Nathan Brown of the Huddersfield Giants. We'll also be hearing from that same game, Wigan Warriors coach Sean Wayne. And, well, it all kicked off on the Friday night between Widnes and Wakefield. We'll also hear from Scott Moore of Widnes and Richard Agar and Ollie Wilkes from the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. You'll show that.
I'm sure we'll be talking about the eye pitch as well. Everybody else is.
I've already said a lot about this eye pitch on Twitter. I think a few people have taken exception. They just wish I would shut up, I think. Right, let's go across to Manchester and here's Adrian's first interview with Warrington Wolves boss Tony Smith.
Tony Smith, a couple of days away from the start of a brand new season. Are you excited about the challenges ahead?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's always good to get ramped up for your first game. And we're looking forward to it. We've had a good preparation for it. So, looking forward to it.
Now, what's been made about the preparation that's gone on in Australia? Was it a success?
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic. Best tour and preparation I've been on ever. And, the players were terrific. And we did a lot of, you know, very good things that will, you know, stick with some of those players for the rest of their careers.
Right, landing on Monday, no jet lag to be worried about?
No, the boys were great today in training. They're all back on track, they reckon, time-wise. So, you know, as I was today, we were all a little tired. But second leg of our flight home, most of the boys had two or three seats, so they got to stretch out, so they had decent sleep on the way home. So I think that helped, but, we'll be fine. It is what it is, and you get on with it.
Now, the preparation in Australia gave you a chance to look at some of the new boys for next year. How did they bed in with the squad?
Yeah, they were good. Terrific. Trent played very well, and as did Stefan. And, Hilly did well as well. But they were amongst some of our better players on the day. Simon Griggs had a great game as well. And I thought Gareth Carvell was another very good performer on the day. So, all good. Pleased with the hit out, and it was a tough one. But that's what we wanted.
You were one of the informed teams last year, Tony. Obviously, Warrington going to be the team to beat next year.
Oh, well, we'll see. It all starts again. You can start at ground zero again. We're going to work our way back up there, and hopefully we can, and go on and keep on improving. That's the our ambition every year that I've been there is to improve on what we've done the previous year, and if we can do that, we'll be pleased with ourselves.
Tony Smith, so big confidence, just as you'd expect, really.
Yeah, he was saying, obviously, in the interview, there's going to be no problem about jet lag ahead of the game against Hull FC and Warrington, and they're looking to progress and what they did last year, and that's for them, in my opinion. They need to go one further, they need to get over that hurdle of being able to produce it in the playoffs.
Let's go here. From the man who won it last season, Brian McDermott, and what's he got in store for the Leeds Rhinos?
Leeds has coach Brian McDermott. Brian, at Old Trafford, it feels like 5 minutes ago we were running around with the Super League trophy. It's all go again for 2012 next weekend.
Yeah, it was good. We're back in the pre-season. We finished what we need to do, and we've done all our preparation. You can only prepare so much, and it's time to go again. So looking forward to it, yeah.
And that's the champions, I suppose. You're the team to knock off the block.
Yeah, maybe so. We were the team last year because, you know, a third of the way into the season, everybody sniffed a bit of blood, and everybody came with the philosophy of let's get into Leeds and try and unnerve Leeds, and they won't come up with the goods, and sometimes that worked, and sometimes it didn't. So, you know, for the majority of last season, everybody came to Headingley, or when we travelled away, everybody invited us to their ground with the determination to play really well and take the game to us. So. For different reasons this year, you know, the same will happen.
The boys are fully refreshed and raring to go to carry on the good work from last year.
Yeah, really pumped. As Kevin just said on stage there, Kevin Sinfield, our captain, we weren't good for some games last year, and for too many games we weren't good at all. So, you know, we got a desire to be a very good team this year, and whether that allows us, you know, an opportunity to win trophies and get to finals, maybe, and hopefully so. But first and foremost, we want to play well and play well every week.
One or two additions to your squad, are they bedded in okay?
Yeah. Daryl Griffin and Richard Moore, they're both season pros. So they're the right type of people. They train really hard, they take care of themselves, and, you know, they make some good decisions away from the field. So, they've bedded into the squad there. You know, we'll see where that takes us this year, but you know, they're two big men, two big raw born blokes who like to carry the ball, so I'm sure they'll fit in well with us.
I'm sure there's a real buzz around Leeds ahead of the new season as well.
Yeah, there is, but as I've already alluded to, that started towards the back end of last year. People noted where we'd been, you know, what we needed to do, and some of that cohesion that we lacked at the start of the year, we certainly got at the end of the year. And you know, we can't wait for that to start again, and, you know, hopefully we're not guaranteed of having that cohesion. We'll have to work for it, but, you know, I think we're in better shape now this time than we were last year.
That Leeds like to play an exciting brand of rugby league. Can we expect the same again next year?
Well, we like to attack. You've got to pass the ball, you've got to attack, you've got to it's not a defensive game, I believe ours, it shouldn't be, and defence, you can't be poor at it. You've got to be very, very strong at it, but you need to score tries in our game. And we haven't changed too much of our philosophies on that. We're just probably better at executing that philosophy.
Now there are 13 other teams who want to take that title off, yeah? What do you feel of the opposition for next year?
You're probably asking the wrong bloke, because we got beat twice off a team that finished 12th, and we got beat off somebody that didn't make playoffs a couple of times. So, you know, you're talking to a bloke who believes every team's a threat.
Obviously as well, Leeds will want to do well on both fronts, i.e. Super League and Challenge Cup once again.
Pretty much like every other Super League team, yeah.
Now, one final question. You give Callum Watkins a new 5-year deal ahead of the new season. It's good to see Leeds giving faith in the youngsters that you've got at your disposal.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's, I'm looking at that two ways. It's great news for Callum. It's great news for the club. I'm also there to ensure that he attains the standards that is shown to get that contract in the first place. So. You know, you look at somebody with a 5-year contract, and you wouldn't be mistaken for thinking that some people might ease off the gas and think that they're in the comfort zone. Well, you know, me, Jimmy Laws, the number two, and Jason Davis in the conditioning, we'll make sure that we're creating an environment where these fellas keep working hard and keep on attaining those standards. If they do, both Callum and Zach Hardacre, the two centres we've got, they've got huge potential, but to realise that potential, they've got to continue working hard.
Potentially Leeds can have a great season, and good luck for 2012.
Thank you, cheers.
Seems like a real cool cucumber of a character, doesn't it?
Very laid back, but it's the start of the season, I think he'll be a bit more irate if Lee Trials don't have the expected start that he's hoping they're going to have. Because last season, although they did win the Super League trophy at the grand final at Old Trafford, they really admitted it themselves, they weren't the best team for the whole season.
They certainly only played the better rugby in the last 6 weeks, didn't they? But I tell you what, if it gets you that trophy at the end of it, doesn't matter when you do it, does it?
Right, no, but Billy's career at Bradford, based on that saying, didn't it? That's how you start the season, how you finish.
Remind me which club Brian Noble is coaching this season, though.
Nowhere.
I think he's actually part of the BBC pundit team, actually. So, if you're watching this new BBC Super League show, Tanya Arnold is the hostess with the mostess this particular year. I think he's going to be on that.
That's Harry Grayson.
I'm not actually sure that. I'm sure he's still somewhere in Leeds. I think he's still working for the BBC, but he's been replaced by Tanya Arnold.
Well, to be honest with you, Tanya Arnold is a bit more glamorous than Harry Grayson, although he does wear some nice dapper shirts.
I think he's got those shirts, you know, though, from Noel Edmonds, don't you reckon? Deal or no deal?
He obviously had the deal.
Right, let's now hear from Harlequins. Oh no, London Broncos. Let's now hear from London Broncos boss.
With London Broncos head coach Rob Powell. Rob Powell, first year in Super League last season. You're looking forward to your second season in charge?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that with what we recruited, the players that we've got off the field, and with the rebrand back to London Broncos from Harlequins, there's a lot of it's an exciting time. And I'm glad to be part of moving this club forward and being part of its future.
You mentioned the rebranding of the name. Is everyone still walking around slipping in the Harlequins name now and again?
Well, I think that it's an interesting one because we always had that problem, especially in London, of when you say you work for Harlequins, they say, oh, the rugby union, and then you have to explain, no, it's the rugby league. And for a neutral or to someone that's not that familiar with rugby league, it's a lot easier to say you work for London Broncos because people remember it. You know, that club had some good success, got into a Challenge Cup final, made playoffs, played in front of big crowds in World Club games, 8,000s, 10,000s against Canberras and the likes of that. So it's just a lot easier and it's a lot more... It's a brand that people understand, it's a brand that people know. And I like what we've done with the brand in terms of the colours and the things that are there. I think it's just a good thing.
Moving venues as well, do you think that'll help London have a bit more success?
Yeah, you know, there's clearly some other places within London and the area that's got a good market. The game's going to be played at Gillingham. There's a good amateur club there called Medway Dragons, which Martin Coyd heads up, and that's as strong as most of the clubs up north, I'd say, the stronger clubs. There's clearly a market down there, and he'll do a great job at making sure that those people represent the club. There's not that much top-class sport in Kent. There's some cricket. There's obviously Gillingham football, who are very open to us going to play down there. And I just think it's a good opportunity for us to go and test the water a little bit with that market and give us something different, which is what it's about.
Now, fair to say, like, at the end of last season, you kind of limped over the line. Is there a renewed confidence within the Broncos lineup?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I think that we probably reached our potential at round fours and five last year. What we'd like to think is with better personnel, and stronger leaders in our group, that we'll hit our straps maybe later in the year, but keep it for more consistency more consistently through the year. So that's what we'll be looking to do. If it's not quite where it needs to be in terms of how the blokes are playing, then that's not a problem at round one, as long as the attitude stuff's there and they're there together as a team. If we're getting better and better through the year, which I know this team's got the potential to do, then hopefully we can be a threat to some teams.
Recruited quite well for 2012, how have they fitted into the Broncos setup?
Yeah, very good. I think that the important thing for us was to recruit the right people. So we put a big effort on what type of people the guys that we had coming in were. I think a lot of recruitment in sport is done on who it is and what they've done. I'm not paid as much service to who they are as people. And we've made a big effort of trying to get the right sort of people into this crew. So everyone that we've brought in as complements the guys we've currently got and the ones that we wanted to retain from last year.
You still remain one of the youngest coaches in Super League, so you're obviously still learning your trade as well.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's an ongoing thing that you want to do and get better as you go on through the years. And the long, you know, I want to be in this game for as long as I can, and hopefully if I keep on learning and keep on developing, then I've got a chance of doing that. I'm always open to new ideas, and we're certainly recruiting some players that are helping me because of their experiences, having been in grand finals and played for their country. That's going to add to you know, my arsenal, if you like, and what the team does.
You're obviously still a lot young enough to play as well, so you must be itching sometimes to get the boots on when you feel it's not going right.
I don't know about that. You know, there's some of them blokes, there's some big contacts out there. I'm not sure. I don't mind playing touch football, but I'm not so sure about playing the contact stuff at this stage. I feel I might not be old, but I feel old anyway. You know.
I suppose for the Broncos as well, it's to hit the ground running with a couple of itches early doors.
Yeah, that'd be nice, but I think it's more important that the team's performing well. And then if we, like I say, if we're not quite where we need to be at round one in terms of the, you know, the end product in, and how slick it looks, well, that's natural with 10 new players in the team. The attitudinal things you can't avoid, you've got to be that from the off, and if you don't get that right, that is a problem. But knowing who we've brought in, that'll be okay. And if we get better and improve through the first few rounds, then we'll be fine.
It's going to be a great season, and good luck for next year.
Season this year. Well, to be honest, they had a great start to the season last year, didn't they? And they just had that real hammering at the hand of Warrington Wolves. They just seemed to fall apart. They just seemed to be traumatised by that scoreline. They never recovered really, did they? Rob Powell, they learnt a lot from that season during his first time as a head coach, and I'm sure he'll be feeling that he's recruited the guys that can get the job done. The 2012, I just felt it was strange talking to a head coach who looked young enough so you can still pull on a pair of boots.
Well, to be honest, he is only just a couple of years younger than my good self, you see. And I don't think I'll be pulling on any playing boots anytime shortly. It's good that London Broncos have actually kept faith with him, though, because you'd think that a lot of clubs, they would have been looking over the shoulder, they would have been seeing just who was available. And we mentioned right before, they were about Noble, and he didn't end up wanting to replace him. They obviously have seen something in him, and they think that with the recruitment that he's done, I mean, he's got the likes of Craig Gower there, hasn't he, this coming season. He's got Michael Robertson, who's a good winger from Australia as well. They could cause a couple of shops, couldn't they?
They're going to be a real handful, certainly down at the home ground anyway. I think what they need to do, the Broncos, need to take the home format and replicate it on the road, because that's where they seem to struggle, aren't they? But I know I've already said, I think the comment I made about Rob Powell has a bit tongue-in-cheek. He is a young lad, but he spoke with a lot of maturity. And obviously the people at Harvins think he's going to be the coach that can move with the times as they move down the road.
Yeah, it does. That makes complete sense, mate. I'm sticking with it anyway. It's a wrap. We're not saying anymore. Let us now hear from Damien Blanch of the Catalan Dragons.
I wanted to bring a bit of French flair to Super League 12 of the Castellan Dragons with Damien Blanch. And Damien, what's the mood like within the Castellan camp?
Yeah, it's been really good. You know, we've had a really good off-season, pre-season. We've obviously sort of, the main goals this year is to pick up where we left off and start the season stronger than we did last year. Saying that, we want to put last season out of our heads, now it's gone, and we've taken the bit of praise, you know, from having a good season. But it wasn't good enough, so you know, we aim high ourselves, and you know, that's what we're aiming for this year, to get to the top.
As far as last year though, you were dogged with injuries early doors, though.
Yeah, we were a bit. We had we were when we weren't, you know, like we had not too many long term injuries, so we were able to sort of, you know, keep a similar team and build around that each week. But unfortunately, in the last 2 weeks, we've had a lot of winger injuries. We've had Vackery did his cruciate in his knee, so he's out for the season already. And the other winger, Stackle, he broke his ankle, and he's had an operation as well. And a young winger that we had coming through, he's young guy, 18, really good player, did his cruciate on Boxing Day playing for our feeder team UTC. So hasn't been a good start for wingers, but you know, if we can keep ourselves fit and healthy, and especially the likes of, you know, Leon Price, who's just come into us, if he can stay injury free and get back to the footy that he was playing a few years ago, you know, it's, yeah, like I said, sky's the limit for us.
You mentioned Leon Price, you've also brought in Louis Anderson. That's a good addition to the pack as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've probably bought, you know, two of the best players that were off contract this year. So getting those guys to come into our game plan and our style of play has been easy in the off season. They're both sort of open, free-playing players, but they can both do the hard yards when they need to. So, yeah, they're both slotted straight in, and, yeah, it's been good.
You were introduced into life in the UK in Widnes. How's life in Castellan treating you?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I love my time at Widnes and Wakefield and Castleford, all the places that I went to, and, you know, just embracing it down in France. My family love it. My son can speak French now, pretty much, which is really good. And you know, just the culture change has been really good for us, and you know, hopefully for years to come as well.
And looking at the opposition, where do you feel the threat's going to come from?
Yeah, this year it's going to be a lot different. You know, clubs have bought well this year. You know, Wakefield's bought really well, and Widnes, you know what I mean. So I don't see it as being as spread out as it was last year. I think the teams are going to be a lot tighter. And well, like I said, with the licensing, it's made teams bring the young guys through, and it makes a big difference giving clubs a few years to build a team rather than just trying to buy whoever's off contract. You know what I mean? So all the clubs have good young guys coming through, and I think we'll see a lot tighter season this year.
Now, you've already mentioned you started at Widnes. Are you looking forward to playing on the third eye pitch?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be great to get back there. I played last year against St Helens, but to play against Widnes there again, like I said, I love my time at Widnes. So, yeah, looking forward to it and seeing how the eye pitch goes, and hopefully won't get too many grass burns.
Trent Robinson, has he introduced any new tactics for next year?
Not so much new tactics, but, you know, everyone's obviously always got, you know, things that they work on and trying to progress. If you don't progress, you're going to stay stagnant and not you know, move up on the ladder. So we've been, you know, working on a few things, and hopefully we can, you know, start where we finished off last year, and then hopefully gradually build up right through till October.
And Percy, for yourself, what kind of season are you hoping for?
Yeah, injury free, hopefully. I mean, I'll hopefully be back for round 3, round 4 after my off-season surgery. And yeah, just injury free, and hopefully, yeah, score a few more tries.
The opportunity to score a wonder try that you scored last season.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
David Munch always speaks very well, doesn't he?
He does. He's got a real deep surface kind of a voice, hasn't he? And I don't remember him when he was at Widnes weekend. He used to ride around Widnes on his skateboard, and believe it or not, he still does it. Although he did tell me the sights of Perpignan a lot more nicer on the eye than Widnes.
Has he managed to get a sponsor, though? Is it a sponsored skateboard? That's what we want to know. We'll have to ask him next time we face with an interview with him. Just ask him that. Did he manage to get his skateboard sponsored? And if we get an answer, then we'll put it out on this podcast.
He's a great player, I'm sure. If he can earn a couple of extra quid by getting his skateboard sponsored, well, every penny counts, as they say, doesn't it? Because it's quite expensive to live in France these days, with Euro being as expensive as it is. In terms of the Castellan Dragons, they're going to be a real handful again this year.
I agree with you, actually. I think that certainly one of the standout players in Super League last year is Scott Giroux. Very, very experienced halfback, can really guide the team around the field. Great goal kicker as well, and scored his fair amount of tries, didn't he?
I suppose the key for them is injuries. They haven't got the strongest of squads in depth, have they, really? So if you can still play with injuries with the key players, that's a Thomas Bosch. And Clint Greenshield, who's absolutely a real class fullback for them as well. Then two key players in safe play of injury, along with Scott Giroux and the likes of the Finch and Powell, Damien Blanche. And also, how can we not forget the ever aging Steve Menzies, who seems to be getting better and better as he gets older. It is a real helpful, and they can stay injury free, they could be up there challenging.
He's like a fine wine, isn't he, actually, Steve Menzies? A superb player. It's always a pleasure when I actually see a Castellan Dragons game and I see him turning in and having a good goal, because, you know, he's just been doing that throughout his career, hasn't he? Fantastic role model.
It is good that you mentioned the wine, because he liked the wine in France.
I think also as well, they've also got Leon Bryson in this coming season over at Castellan. Now, I know that he missed the very first game of the season, which will sum up in just a little while, but he could be a massive signing for them as well, couldn't he?
Could be the sign of the season, yeah, for now, for Leon Price. He's still got the skills that pay the bills as well, doesn't he? But he has struggled with injuries over the last few years with St. Anne, so once again, can life in the south of France benefit Leon Price by being injury free?
Okay, that's the launch of the Stobart Super League. Let's get a couple of these things out of the way. Stobart, put sponsorship deal or not?
Well, obviously, everyone's known about the fact we never got any hard cash.
I am.
For Stobart's name to be there at the top of the rugby league ladder in Europe, to get your product on the side of the Stobart lorries, that's not a bad thing to have, is it?
It's not bad if they're doing more than 100, though. I mean, we're only talking about 100 wagons. They've got a fleet of 2,200, I know, I've read the website.
Yeah, you can pass one every 4 minutes, but if they got 100, that might be one every 40 minutes.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I passed two in Whitley on Friday night, but quite what they were doing, just parked up outside the ground. Were they just there to put off people and say, you can go and watch this game for free over on Sky Sports?
I'm sure they'll look into the small part of the actual deal with Stobart. I think there's more to it than just 100 lorries going around the country with, play, with pictures of players. And the fact that they sponsor rugby league in the UK
makes you wonder whether players will start having to wear tachographs on the back, doesn't it? Even like the extra licences, perhaps. But hey, we've got a Super League licensing process. Anyway, haven't we? Why not extend it to the players?
I mean, I know everyone's calling the fact that it's not a good deal for rugby league, but I think looking with the side pitch as well, along them lines, it's too early to comment on it, really, isn't it? And to be honest, it's all about a 3-year deal. And let's see how successful it has been after the 3 years are up.
Let's have a look at what happened in round one of the Stobart Super League. Quick flash through the results. Bradford Bulls 12, Catalan Dragons 34, Hull FC 20, Warrington Wolves 20, Leeds Rhinos 34, Hull Kingston Rovers 16, London Broncos 24, St Helens 34, Salford City Reds 10, Castleford Tigers 24, Widnes Vikings 14, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats 32, and Wigan Warriors 16, Huddersfield Giants 20. Where do you want to start with that one?
Let's talk about the weather first, shall we?
Do we have to? Well, it was cold, wasn't it? I was getting goosebumps on my goosebumps.
Well, it just baffles me why we promote ourselves as a summer sport, and yet we kick off the first round in what was a blizzard.
It was the depths of winter, wasn't it? I mean, we had temperatures on a Friday night over in Widnes of, believe it or not, somewhere in the region of -6 at one point, I think they said, didn't they? And then the day after, when the televised game was over at the new Salford City Stadium, well, that was played at nice white blanket of snow, wasn't it?
With an orange ball as well. I've seen that since the 70s.
A class ball, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, you see them kind of balls. Midweek games, from the 18 games and all that stuff. But yeah, on two occasions last weekend, that was a witness and I went to Hull as well. And I hope that's cubes on my toes.
That's it, folks. Talking balls here on the LoveRugbyLeague.com website.
But moving away from the weather, the action on the field in all the games really warmed up the fans' appetite for what looks like it's going to be a really competitive season, because there's some interesting scorelines there.
Yeah, let's start first of all perhaps with the Whitney's game then, because they were kicking off in front of a new generation of fans, really, weren't they? Some of them who want to see Whitney's in Super League for many years. We're talking about 7 seasons, aren't we, that they've been absent from the top flight. And we get Wakefield again.
Plenty of debutants all on show as well, not just for Whitney's, but for Wakefield as well. It wasn't just a new start for Whitney's Vikings, it was basically a new start away from Trinity Wildcats. I mean, Richard Agar came in really late in terms of being named head coach for the forthcoming season, and Vinci had to work overtime to stick a team together.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were talking about the way before that game between Whitney and Wakefield, and we were saying that he was signing players up till the middle of December, so just at the time when he should have been concentrating on the Christmas shopping. Well, he's been getting the play because he was buying Ridley Mathers.
Now, all the talk was all about the Vikings, wasn't it, really? And, could they cope with being back in the spotlight of Big Town Rugby League after 7 years in what some fans say the wilderness of the Championship? No disrespect to the Championship, by the way. And early doors in the game, Whitney showed no signs of nervousness, even on a new pitch.
Yeah, they were pretty good, weren't they? They put quite a bit of pressure onto Wakefield throughout the first half. They scored the very first try back in Super League, didn't they, on the new high pitch, and it was Craven who went over the little chip and chase that he won the race to. And by half time, they were leading 10 points to 4, but I just had the feeling they should have been far further in front than what they were.
Yeah, so the chances that they really struggled with that final pass to open up that Wakefield defence, but let's take nothing away from the Wakefield defensive line. They really put in a good stint from preventing Widnes getting more tries on the board before the half time break.
Yeah, Patrick Arvan flew in for Widnes Vikings' second try, and Louis Titi responded for the Wakefield 3-2 Wildcats, and second half tries from Raleigh, Mathers, Smith, Fox with two ended up tipping the scales in Wakefield's favour. Cahill responding for Widnes, and well, they were a bit bedraggled at the end, weren't they, really, Widnes? They kind of lost their way and lost the composure after about 60, 62 minutes of the game.
Seemed to run out of steam as well, didn't they? Wakefield were the strongest of the two teams right at the end as well, weren't they? And I was rather impressed with the Wakefield's goal 4-4, Ivan Chung really controlled the play really nicely for Wakefield.
Let's get a bit of reaction. First of all, Adrian, he spoke with Ollie Wilkes.
Ollie Wilkes, on your return to the home of Widnes Vikings where you spent a few years, happy to get the season off with a win with your new club Wakefield?
Yeah, definitely. It's always good to get a win for your first game. Credit to Widnes, they put up a good performance and they worked hard for the full 80 minutes. I think, you know, it was always going to be tough coming into the Super League, but with a new pitch and stuff like that. But you know, they've got great facilities, good coaching staff and stuff like that, and I'm sure they're going to upset a few sides this year.
Now, what's been made about the fact that Richard Agar's brought in a lot of new faces for Wakefield? So how did the team gel together tonight?
Well, we've had a long pre-season. We had 2 months before Christmas, so we were in quite early, and we've done a lot of work together. And you know, it was a bit scratchy at first, like learning all the new calls, new players, but everyone was in the same boat. So, you know, some picked it up quicker than others, but, you know, we're doing all right now, and training every week, especially in the last few weeks since Christmas. It's been really good, really, really tough.
Now, looking at that defensive effort at the back end of the first half, and Widnes had a lot of possession in Wakefield's half of the field, it looks like you've been doing a bit of work out on the tackle bags.
Yeah, I think we played in Catalan. I didn't actually go to France, but because I was sick. But the feedback I got was that we struggled against the big Catalan pack, and it was hard to control the game. But we did work on defence for a number of weeks, and then we played Castleford in a friendly, and it just showed like all the stuff that we've been doing had come into fruition, and we've done really well. So we've just followed that on today with another good performance.
You were slightly behind at the half-time break, so what was the feeling amongst the boys in the sheds at half-time?
I think everyone was pretty positive. I think Widnes had 100% completion rate in the first half, and you know, it would be tough to match the first half with the second half with the first half, but they did do well, but they did tail off towards the end of the game, and we just stuck to our game plan. We knew we'd get the spoils if we just kept working on the stuff we were doing, taking the meters, and then taking the chunks and, you know, finishing the plays.
Master stroke for me is when they brought Kyle Wood on. He's a real tricky customer, and he proved his worth for you tonight.
Yeah, he did excellent tonight, did Kyle. Made up that he's got a run out. There was a lot of competition in his position, and he's got the nod over Andy Ellis, who was disappointed not to get a game, but I'm sure he will in the next few weeks. But he was quick out of dummy half, and you know, he upset the Widnes defence. So all positive for him, and I hope he continues.
And the game ebbed and flowed during that period. And you seemed to hit a purple patch from the 61st minute onwards.
Yeah, well, that's like I said, you know, we did stick to our game plan, and we completed our sets, and we knew if we just kept doing that and building momentum, you know, we'd get the spoils at the end of it.
Now, for yourself personally, you're quite happy with your performance tonight?
There's a couple of slip-ups and defensive errors, but I was all right with the ball in hand, and it was a great team effort. And you know, it's just good to be on the end of a win on our first game.
Now, the big question is, what was it like playing on the Vikings' eye pitch?
It was all right. Fast track, but it's a lot of the lads have got cuts on the knees, well, quite bad cuts on the knees and their elbows and stuff like that, but with Vaseline tape on your knees or whatever, you know, there's always something you can do. So at the end of the day, they're playing on a fast track all year round, so it'll be good for Widnes.
Got your first win of the season. Is that going to set you up nicely for the start of the season now?
Well, I like to think so. We go to we're at home next week against Hull KR. Look at their video during the week. I'm sure Richard will pull out some a decent game plan against them, and see how they go against Leeds this week. But we'll be doing like pretty much similar stuff to what we've done this week. We'll stick to the same structures and stuff like that, and hopefully defensively we can do the same again. And you know, if we can defend 3-4 sets on our line and not concede like we have done today, it's and then go up the other end of the field and score, it's just a bonus and a big pat on the back for everyone involved.
So there'll be a big pat on the back for everyone on the coach on the way home tonight. Well done to this evening.
Well, it looks, sounds like a happy figure to be back with Wakefield.
He's back at the win. He's played for a year ago as well, and that was a win. So we'd have been happy to have got the results and as well.
Richard Hergar, the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats coach. Your thoughts on that win?
Really pleased to get the win. You know, we thought it was a tough night to come here. You know, opening round of Super League, witness coming back for the first time. You know, we really got what we expected. You know, a very, you know, physical witness team in the opening exchanges, and you know, we probably didn't cope with it as well as we could. It threw us off a little bit offensively. You know, they certainly kicked the ball a lot better than we did in the first half. The young kid that played fullback, I thought, put some great kicks in, and we couldn't come up with a finish on the end of her sets, which, you know, big picture led to us defending his own line for, you know, for two bigger chunks of the first half. You know, I thought we had enough chances. I thought we had enough chances in the first half to, you know, perhaps post two or three tries on there, but, you know, we didn't take them. And we felt at half time, you know, we certainly would need to just work a little bit harder in the tackle. Work a bit harder in the tackle and, you know, put a big onus on our half backs to finish the sets in a far better fashion that they were doing in the first half. We thought we lost our composure. Thought we regained it. You know, we thought we regained it in the second half, and I thought, you know, the guys that needed to came to the fore a lot more, and, you know, Timmy Smith marshalled us around the pitch really, really well and came up with some great plays in the second half.
You mentioned the defence in that first half. I mean, if that's the benchmark for what you've got to get your lads going, it's it was awesome, wasn't it? You know, to keep them out as long as you did.
Yeah, we did. You know, we felt our try line defence were good, but we still felt it could improve a little bit as well. But it was the amount that we were having to do. You know, we were quite confident that we'd keep his line intact, but, you know, we did dodge a couple of bullets as well from time to time, and you know, we feel there is some improvement in what we were doing there. But that's what sort of led us to be a little bit, not confident at half time, but look, if we can be a little bit better in two small areas here, there should be something in this game for us. The try against the run of play, you know, what a big one. I know we got off the mark really quickly in the second half, but Kyle Wood, you know, we put Kyle Wood on because he's got an outstanding kicking game, and his first kick got charged down in a try against the run of play, which, you know, could have led a, you know, a fairly young and inexperienced player to go into a shell of it, but it didn't. I thought he was magnificent after that. I thought his service were terrific, kicked the ball well and chased it really well, and I thought his runs out of dummy half and his smarts had a really big impact on those last, you know, sort of 20-25 minutes.
And albeit they had a play simming 10 minutes from time, yeah, that last 15 minutes you got on top and you showed what you can do, didn't you, as an attack?
We did. I felt we probably didn't make the most of that 10 minutes well enough. I thought once there was some daylight on the scoreboard, again, I thought we got a little bit blasé with the football. I thought if it had just kept doing what we were doing and playing composed, but we got a little bit excited, and why not? You know, you can see bringing the game home again, 12 men with a bit of daylight on the scoreboard, I can see why the boys, you know, might have overplayed a little bit, but they're all the things that we learn about. You know, we've got a lot of improvement in us. We've got a lot of learning, and we've got a lot of relationships to build with each other yet. So, you know, to get an early start like this, get off on the right foot in front of a great travelling support for our fans. You know, I think they've seen we're going to have a committed side, and we're going to have a side what hopefully can play some good football for them.
And finally, from your point of view, the discipline of the second half was superb. I think the only penalty conceded were 5 seconds from time, whereas Widnes, obviously, was up to them. They were a bit more indisciplined.
Oh, you know, perhaps sometimes it's how the game's going. You know, if one side's got the run of the possession and rolling down the field, sometimes it has effect on your energy. And when your energy's not as good, your tackles aren't as clean. And, you know, that's when, you know, I guess a little shortcuts come in. But, you know, we could be guilty of that in the first half a little bit as well.
Obviously happy to get the win, but he was, I think, to be honest, wanting a little bit more from his side.
Well, it just shows your coaches the heart to please, don't they, to go to what was an experiment at the first round of the Super League. To be honest with you, Wakefield were the guinea pigs, and the all eyes would have been to see how Wakefield perform against the new boys on the block and how they go about their business on the field as well, with it being the new high pitch and such at their home and Widnes Rife. And I thought Wakefield dealt with them obstacles rather well.
Let's now hear Steve and Scott Moore of the Widnes Vikings. Well, Widnes Vikings, Scott Moore, not the start you wanted, especially at Stobart.
No, obviously not. Was coming to this game pretty confident, to be honest, there after a decent display at Saints. But yeah, not credit where credit's due. Wakefield turned up today and they played really well, and But on the flip side, we did play too good, and we gave them a lot of ball, which allowed them to basically put to the sword at the end. And you can't really do that against a team. You can't, coming up into this division, and it's still a learning curve for a lot of the lads who've come from the league below. I think it's a massive taster of what's to come in the year. It's a long year, so we can't dwell on this. We've just got to move on and pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and get ready for Huddersfield.
Such an awful weather day sort of thing as well. You've got to give credit to the crowd. I mean, they never stopped backing you, did they?
Yeah, and the fans are awesome, you know, and I appreciate them turning out. And you know, the fans are awesome. Like I say, I can't speak highly of the fans enough. I'm just a bit disappointed that we couldn't do something for them on the field and give them something that they deserve, really.
So now you've got to get back on the horse, and it's Huddersfield Giants next week, and any game in Super League, it's not going to be easy, is it?
Oh no, especially for us being the new dogs. I think everyone's out to get us, out to prove our points, and it's going to be a massive learning curve for us this year. We're not naive enough to think it's not going to be. And but like I say, it's a long year. It's just one of 28 rounds. So we've just got to get back on the horse, lick our wounds a little bit over the weekend, and dust ourselves off and prepare again. Monday's a new day, a new week, and prepare ourselves for Huddersfield.
Looking forward to seeing Brownie after the game next week. Have a crack with him.
Oh yeah, Brownie's a good bloke. We've got a good relationship with Brownie, and always have, and still speak to him from time to time. So yeah, looking forward to Brownie. Should be good. Huddersfield are a good side. I'm not really seeing him play. I've spoken to a few of the lads over the pre-season, but I think they've had a tough pre-season, so they'll be ready to go, and they'll be ready for us to turn up and give us it, I think. So we've got to step to the mark and try and rectify this, what's happened tonight.
Scott Mark always got something to say. Getting away his first year of penalties again, it has to be said, but if he can keep his head right and he does start playing to his potential, we've got themselves a really good player there in Scott Mark, haven't they?
He's a real hard working hooker, isn't he, really? He's got good ball distribution as well, and like you say, if he can cut out the penalties and keep his head straight, he'll go alright for the Widnes Vikings and do a good job for them. But that seems to be the problem, not with just Scott Moore against Wakefield. It seems to be right across the board with the team to give too many penalties away.
Yeah, I believe second half penalties were something like 8-1 in Wakefield's favour, and to be fair, if you're getting that much extra possession, you're going to take advantage of some point, aren't you? Especially in Super League, if you have to double your effort every time, there's got to be points on offer, aren't there?
There is, and that's where Wakefield benefited from it, really, and Widnes. They can learn from it, can't they? That's all they can do.
Now, we've had this mention of the high pitch. Now, I have to admit, the high pitch, I didn't like the music that were being played over a Widnes, but I don't think it had anything to do with that, did it?
Well, what was the music?
I don't know, but it was all this modern stuff, you know. You know how I like the brass bands? I've been brought up near Wigan.
Now, obviously, all the talk has been about the high pitch ever since Widnes announced it's been a stiff one, and I'm sure the eyes of the world, not just in rugby league, but in football as well, have been looking to see how this pitch performs over an 80-minute game, not just one game, but for the rest of the season as well. And now, Wakefield as a club have come out and said they were quite happy with how the pitch performed. Richard Navers had different ideas.
He did. He pasted pictures all over Twitter showing cuts and grazes to knees and elbows, and I don't know, you don't expect to go on a rugby field and end up full of cuts, do you? But having said that, having seen the state of another picture that was put on by another player who played for Salford City Reds on the Saturday night, well, these legs were arguably cut far worse on a natural pitch covered in snow.
Yeah, that was Matthew Ashurst for Salford. He'd obviously played in the blizzard. As well, it's got cold, that snow's gone hard, so he's banging his knee, because his knee wide open, isn't he, really? I saw Richie Mavis in the tunnel, and he did have a lot of cuts on his legs and his elbows. And it's easy to play the pitch, but to be honest with you, as the season progresses in what is traditionally summer weather when we do play our rugby, it plays pick up them kind of cuts and bruises anyway.
It's going to be interesting just how this whole story develops. And now, the cynical amongst us, thinking mainly me, are thinking as long as people are talking about the pitch, they're not actually talking about what's going on the pitch. Now, is this clever work from Steve O'Connor, knowing that his coaching staff could be under a little bit of pressure early doors?
I don't think it is at all. I think Widnes have put the pitch in basically to stand out from the crowd. Make a statement from a financial extent that they have got such a facility in place.
What do you think? Let us know. That's the Parky RL on Twitter. And the best of what we get, I'll read out next week. Tell you about that. Can't say further than that, can I? If you're looking for standout performances over the course of the weekend, Adrian, I've got to look at this Leeds Rhinos game because we've got Callum Watkins grab a hat-trick in it.
Well, I went to celebrate the fact he's been given a five-year deal as well. He showed a lot of potential last year, didn't he, really? And Leeds have stuck with him despite his relatively inexperienced of playing in Super League Rugby on a regular basis. He looked a class out last year, and with his hat-trick against the Hawkinson Rovers on Friday, it looks like he's hungry for more tries and kick on where he started last year.
Not start out for Leeds, wasn't it? Because, I mean, like you mentioned, they were a bit indifferent over the first half of the season last year. And that's put them out on a good footing already.
Yeah, just talking to Rovers can be an awkward team to play against, can't they? They can really go in there and upset you and put you off your game plan. And by the sound of it, Leeds had no problem whatsoever.
And the fact that Hawkinson Rovers went into that game with a brand new coach at the helm as well, you know, all of those players probably he's brought in, he's got on trying to play his way, and it's always a difficult one. Now, I know the Leeds players, they're looking used to the way that McNerity's asking them to play, but perhaps some of the Hawkins are always like, weren't quite sure how Craig Sandercock was going to approach it.
Fantastic name, isn't it? It sounds like he should be an American football coach rather than a rugby league coach. Fantastic name. He's obviously got a good pedigree, that's why Hawkins and Rovers have decided that he's the man to replace Justin Moore, but then carry on the Rovers fight to be not there with the big boys in Super League.
Now, before we get to the big draw of the weekend, I just want to just touch base with this London Broncos. London Broncos put up a real good fight against St Helens, and it basically took the wonderful goal kicking of Jamie Foster again to separate the sides. He's so important, isn't he, Jamie Foster, to St Helens?
He didn't just score goals, he's got to score strides, to be honest. He's a real point machine for them. And just shows you the importance of being able to slot your kicks over.
Encouraging attendance down there at the stake as well, 5,000. I think they'll be quite happy with that, won't they?
I'm sure they will. They'll be hoping for a few more bums on seats as the games progress down there at the stoop, but that'll only increase as London Broncos get better on the field.
Just briefly, Salford City Reds against Castleford Tigers, 24-10. Deserved victory, I thought, for Cass.
Yeah, they handled the conditions better than Salford as well, didn't they, really? And under Ian Millward, and they've got a good coach who knows how to play a game of rugby league. And to be honest, maybe he's improved Castleford, but I thought the fitness level at this stage in the season was fantastic.
Richie Owens had his problems in the club season, hasn't he? A couple of times, a couple of brushes went off for it, shall we say. I'll leave it at that. But he came up with a couple of tries. And it was interesting to notice that Ian Millward was operating exactly the same move, which worked so well for Lee in the Championship last year. And in Super League, it was unplayable as well. And Owens was the main beneficiary.
Well, spotted UV spotter.
Not just an heavy spotter.
They obviously weren't very well known as the league coach, and they thought, I'll try this in Super League to see if a Championship move can work in a Super League environment, and it came up trumps, didn't it?
They certainly did, and Castleford Tigers came up trumps as well, 24 points to 10. Good following there from Castleford as well, I thought. Where were the Salford fans? I guess we'll find out over the course of the season. Let's move across to Sunday, and Wigan Warriors 16, Huddersfield Giants 20. Shot result out of the weekend for me.
Is it a shock result? I don't think so. Huddersfield Giants are more than capable of being with the Warriors.
Have they got any props though?
Doesn't matter. If, as long as you've got them boys who are on there, so you're going to bust the goal and they've got the ability, it doesn't matter.
20 points to 16. Real gutsy effort from Huddersfield Giants. Let's get some post-game reaction here once again from Steve Manning. First of all, in conversation with Huddersfield Giants coach Nathan Brown.
Well, Nathan Brown, the Huddersfield Giants coach, your reaction to that superb win by your boys?
Yeah, it was a great effort. From a football point of view, we know there's plenty of improvement from us, but from an effort point of view and the commitment that they showed for each other, the boys, was terrific, you know. So if we can keep being consistent, keep working hard on those 1% areas, well, I'm sure we can give ourselves a chance.
Were you a little bit worried when it got within 4 points at the end, biting fingers in case of perhaps the referee industry went wrong against you?
Oh, well, you're always, you know, when you're playing quality sides, you know, even if you're playing any team that's not a quality side, any time there's only a try in it, it's only one defensive lapse in it from your behalf, one error from your behalf, that can give an opportunity. But when
the guys are putting the effort in they put in and the commitment for each other, you know, you're also a really, really good chance if you do come up with something wrong, you're a good chance of stopping it as well, which we did plenty during the game.
I suppose it's a coach's call. You bring Lam Patrick on and he rewards, I think, within a few minutes with one try, and then the one where he left Sam Tompkins on the floor. I think you remember that, and the panels in yourself for a long time.
Yeah, it was a great try, you know, and I don't know, I wouldn't like to take the credit from a coaching point of view. You know, if you look at Earl Crabtree, he played his 115 kilo, he'd played 50 minutes straight to allow Lahn to come on against some defence that ain't quite as fresh, you know, and we all know Lahn's got a certain set of skills, but there was other people that showed a certain set of skills that allowed Lahn to do that as well. So, you know, pat on the back for Lahn, but also the blokes that worked hard before he got there.
But if we look forward now, then obviously you're one from one. You've got Widnes Vikings next week, and it's important now that you keep that momentum up, even though it's early days.
It is. It's really important, you know. Like, coming here today and putting an effort like we did today and then fronting up next week with a below-par performance would be really, really poor of all of us as individuals and as a group, you know. So from a group point of view, you know, we need to approach next week's game exactly as we approached this game. Showed the opposition a lot of respect. We worked hard, we trained hard and prepared well. And if we do those things, we'll give ourselves a good chance, regardless of who we play. But if we take our eye off the ball, you know, Witness showed the other night that, you know, if they'd have got a couple of decisions maybe go their way, you know, they could have already knocked off Wakefield, and they're going to win some games and cause some upsets, you know. The key for us is making sure, you know, we remain focused on what we need to achieve to get the right result.
And finally, you're in a great situation. You've got players who were injured, players waiting to come back, and you've got to make that decision. Do I stick or twist?
Well, we do, yeah. I mean, the big thing there is obviously, you know, you've obviously got some players coming back who are obviously quite tunnelled, haven't we, you know, and blokes who have played lots of Super League. And but, you know, you've got to weigh up the reward for the blokes that worked really, really hard today. Bobby Fairbanks has played 60-odd minutes straight, and his commitment for the team was 1% areas was brilliant, you know. So, you know, wouldn't be real smart of the coach to then get rid of Bobby Fairbanks, you know. So, you know, there could be some tougher decisions to make next week, but, you know, you've got to look at what's in the best interest of the team long term rather than short term, and, you know, we'll see who is fit, and then we'll make some decisions then. But there's got to be some sort of reward for the players that did well today.
Sean Wayne, the Wigan Warriors coach, not the start perhaps yourself and everybody expected?
No, he's disappointing, there's no doubt about that. I'd be lying if I said any different, and all the players are really gutted in the change room, they're feeling it, you know, because they wanted to perform. You know, they've trained really well, they've had a great pre-season, we've got some talented players in there, but we didn't see that today, we didn't see the best Wigan performance, and, you know, we need to look at reasons why, and I'll be up overnight looking at the DVD and make sure we fix it, because in a few days' time, we've got Leeds coming here, a very talented Leeds team, and we need to be better than what it was today.
Was it perhaps the expectancy of what you wanted and perhaps even what the players wanted, or because obviously the crowd didn't expect it, but I know that doesn't come into the equation.
No, I never saw it coming. I never saw that performance coming. Neither did the players, and we need to pinpoint why that happened, you know. And the positive thing is when we got our players on, we could have scored many, many tries, and we didn't do that. You know, we bombed a few tries, Paddy Richards, and where Paddy's better than that. Paddy normally puts them away, but, you know, he did other things in the game, which was quality. So it's by no means Paddy's fault or anybody's fault. But as a group, we need to make sure that we fix all the individual errors we've come up with today.
But you got within 4 points when Lockers went over that try. Were you thinking, well, typical Wigan, we'll snatch it at the end as such?
Yeah, I did think we'd win the game. There's no doubt about that. And you know, when Locker scored, I thought if we play with a bit of composure, you know, we will get it. And we didn't. You know, composure is that last play, that last bit of core skill at the end. You know, even in the first half, you know, we won four or five chances to score. And at this level, you just can't do that.
I know you focus on obviously what your side did. What did you think of the Giants as a whole, as a unit?
Yeah, well, I mean, Nathan did a great job saying that with injuries and played it down that we're going to win the game easy. And I knew I've rammed on to our players all week that they've got some talented players in the team. They've got some real class, you know, some match winners. And it wasn't that we underestimated them, you know, because we knew that they're a very good team. I thought they played well. They played it very slow. They slowed the game down, which suited them more than us. And, you know, they come up with a win, which is fair play to them.
You know, against Stephen Clarke, that's the other thing. He's done better with him last than me, hasn't he? As we can worry, yeah, he's going to be disappointed. It's his first big game in charge. He's always been associated with Wigan. He's been the assistant under Michael Maguire for the last two seasons. So this was his big day in the spotlight as a head coach. And I'm sure he'll be disappointed if he didn't get the right result.
Let's move on to the last couple of games. And just very quickly, Bradford Bulls are in for a tough season, it looks like. Getting hammered at home to the Catalan Dragons, 34 points to 12. Not a good start to the season for me, Potter.
It looks like, based on that scoreline and performance, Phil Kinsella's prediction and Angela Palmer's prediction of Bradford Bulls finishing bottom are not far wrong, are they?
I don't think they'll finish bottom. I reckon probably about 8th and 9th, but will that be good enough for the Bradford board? There's the question. Let us now look at Hull FC against Warrington, 20 points apiece. You were there, Adrian. Justifiable result.
Well, you speak to both coaches, they're both disappointed they didn't get the win, obviously. Normally, when you score a try in the last minute, you'd be thinking that's a point game, but Warrington, the standards that they set these days are so high, they see that as a point loss. And to be honest with you, it's a fair result. It's a fantastic game of rugby league, the opening game of a Super League season. Lots of effort, lots of speed, lots of skill as well, and it literally had everything. But I suppose the only person who let it down was referee Steve Johnson, because some of his decisions just totally confused everybody in the stadium.
Is this going to be the first of Jackson Bash 2012? I guess we'll find out from Mr. Jackson over the course of the season. I think he's going to be keeping tabs on the referees. But 20 points each, and Reece Evans scored in the very last minute. He's gone on leaps and bounds, doesn't he, Reece Evans? He's looking like a real chunky lad now.
Well, he looks the part all right. He used to be nice and slim, didn't he, Reece Evans? But he's certainly bulked up and he certainly looks the part. He's got the potential to literally go all the way.
And Reece Williams on the other wing as well. I mean, those are two handy wingers, aren't they?
He's got a lot of pace, hasn't he, Reece Williams? Very underrated, a bit like Ryan Patrick. And he's got a lot of pace, knows where the trial line is, and that's what you need when you're a winger, isn't it?
Now, before we go, let us hear from Lee Crooks, the former Hull and Castleford legend. Adrian caught up with him, and this is what he had to say.
Crooks, based on the first outing for Hull FC, what do you feel this brought them in Super League for 2012?
Well, I think obviously very positive result for the club. I think that, you know, it's been a steady progress. I don't think they played particularly well against OKR, but they played a lot better against Bradford, and obviously today's performance has been very, very encouraging. You know, to get a draw against a team that many people and pundits think they're going to win the grand final, I think is a big effort for the club. But, you know, I think that there's a few things that Peter Gentle will probably want to work on next week. I think one of them, obviously, trying to close the game down at 20 points to 16. I thought the Hull was, you know, certainly a dominant side, but they just needed to be able to learn how to close the game down. I think they forced a pass a little bit and tried to win the game twice.
Just looking at the new face that they brought in, how do you feel they fitted into the whole FC way of playing?
I think that obviously there's a few new faces on the field, obviously a new coaching setup. I think that it's going to take a while for everybody to sort of fit back in. But you know, as I say, I think they're very encouraging signs for the team and for the players as well.
And for Peter Gentle, do you think he'd have been happy with what he's seen?
I think he'll be happy. He'll be happy with the result. I probably think, you know, I don't think he'll probably be happy with the performance as such. I think that I would say it's probably not right, but he will be happy with the performance. But I think he'll probably wonder why, you know, we didn't close the game down when we should have done. And I think, as I said, there's going to be a lot of things that he can work on. But certainly, it's been very, very encouraging. And I think that the progression that the team's done in the last 3 weeks has been great.
For the rest of the season, do you think Hull can now kick on and produce that on a regular basis?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think it's all right producing it once. You've got to improve each week, and you've got to consistently play well. And I think if they do that, then they're going to have a very exciting season. I do some coaching at Cass Tigers with a scholarship programme, and I do a bit for the RFL now. So obviously I've got to do a proper job now for the first time in 30 years. But it's going okay at the moment.
Great to see that he was there, Adrian.
He did struggle to get up the steps to the press area at the KC Stadium in that down to face up two bad knees from his playing days. He's still got a lot to do with Hull FC, and as you heard in the interview, he's coaching as well with the Castleford Academy team as well. So it's good to see a player of his ability from the years gone by. A player like him is still involved in the game, but for Hull FC, it's a great start for what is another new coach in Peter Gentle.
It's going to be interesting to see just how he goes on. Let's have a big quick look at what we've got coming up for Super League Round 2.
St. Sam's take on Salford City Reds, Castellan Dragons versus Hull FC, Wigan Warriors take on Leeds Rhinos, Castleford Tigers versus Bradford Bulls, Huddersfield Giants versus Widnes Vikings, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats versus Hawkinson Rovers, and finally, Warrington Wolves versus the London Broncos. And just thinking, David, and looking at the last fixture, Warrington versus London, they have a big scoreline last year, surely.
I hope not. I mean, I'm thinking that London Broncos much improved, and certainly they should win at home to St. Helens points to better things ahead, doesn't it, for Mr. Powell's men. But I think the interesting one that I'm going to be keeping tabs on over the course of the weekend is going to be Castleford against Bradford. Obviously, we've talked about it. It's Brian Potter. Nick Potter under plenty of pressure there for the Bradford Bulls. Ian Millward looking still to make his way back in the Super League. I think that's going to be a great game.
In round two, we say welcome to Super League and 2012 to Lang Tree Park. It looks like it's going to be a sellout against Salford City Reds.
Yeah, at the time of recording this podcast, they actually sold 14,000 of the 17,000 tickets on hand. And it's great to see the public actually getting behind it, because it's a fantastic ground, isn't it? A bit cold, but a fantastic ground nonetheless.
The big fixture of the week has got to be the Wigan Warriors versus Leeds Rhinos.
Oh, fantastic game. And already the pressure could be put on Sean Bainconte, because if they lose to Leeds, is he not going to be under a bit of pressure as well? I mean, having inherited such a side that he has done, having strengthened it in the way that he has done, I don't know, I'd just be expecting Wigan Warriors to do perhaps a little bit better, and might be a bit too quick to judge them.
I think the Giants are going to be a team on a mission. I think the key word for them is going to be revenge for the Charles Cup, surely.
Yeah, and consistency as well, and certainly with players like Kevin Sinfield in the ranks and Danny Maguire in the straps, then you want it back against them, would you, fully? I mean, let's face it, that is